Heavenly Father, thank you this morning. So we've had our time of worship, and now as we turn and look into your word and what I guess could be a misunderstood passage, maybe even a misused passage in some ways, I pray today that you would open our hearts and our minds to what it is you're trying to speak through this passage to us. There are a lot of issues and a lot of different things that we can discuss about this passage, but this morning it's about just taking the stuff, the things in our life that are robbing us of the joy of our walk with you as believers and learning just to give it to you. So Father, I don't know what we may be dealing with. I know some of the things I'm dealing with, but every one of us gathered in this auditorium or watching at home could have all kinds of different things that we're struggling with this morning, things that we don't know what to do with, things that we've tried to give to you, but maybe we've done it in an incorrect way, or things that we've decided that are too important to try to give to you, so we're trying to deal with them ourselves. Could be a job issue, could be a relationship, a broken marriage. Worry over a son or a daughter, could be financial issues, could even be health issues, Father. All of these things are things that sometimes the enemy can use to keep us from being able to experience the joy. And so this morning as we read this passage together, as we break it down and look at just some practical steps that we can take and learn and glean from this truth, this story in this passage that can help us in our daily walk. So God, I pray for all of us as believers that you would grab our attention this morning as we begin this. I pray for the lost person that may be here this morning with us or may be watching or listening to this sometime during the week. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit would grab their attention to understand that Jesus is the answer to all of the things that we struggle with, not just the things we seem to be carrying around right now, but the whole issue with our sin and our happiness and finding fulfillment and purpose and meaning in life and trying to figure out why you have us here right now. Jesus is the answer. So I pray as we go through this passage that you would open all of our hearts and our minds to you. We pray all of these things this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 14 through 29, and as I've already kind of said in my opening prayer this morning, I fear that this is one of those passages that let me change this and say, I don't know that it's misused, but I think we focus on the demon possession part, and rightly so. I mean, that's fascinating. It's always a question that we as believers have about the world we live in today in comparison to Jesus' times. And sometimes we'll use passages like this one to kind of fixate on the healing power or the ability of God to be able to use circumstances and situations, but his divine work to heal us of the evil. And rightly so, that's an important part of this passage. But there's another, what I would say is kind of an obscure part of this passage. And my prayer this morning is that your eyes are open like mine was when I came across this passage probably for the 800th time and saw this sort of viewpoint for the first time. And that's kind of the remarkability of God's Word, isn't it? You can read it 100 times, 800 times, 1,000 different times, and the work of the Holy Spirit can allow you to see something this one time that you've missed all of the others. And that's the aspect of what we find with this man and the burden of the pain that he has for his boy. He has done what seems to be all kinds of things to try to cure his son, even taking him to the disciples. That's what I meant in my prayer, that sometimes we think we're bringing it to God, but maybe we're going to an alternative or something that's pretending to be God or another sort of what we might think of as an easier course to bring it to him. Listen, there are no shortcuts when it comes to laying down those things that are burdening us, including this man and his son. We need to go directly to God, not something that is imposing. And I'm not saying this morning the disciples were wrong in what they do. And we'll read this passage in a moment. But they were becoming an easy out instead of this man bringing his son. Sometimes we need to get on our knees before the Lord and bring those things to him. So there's a lot in this passage, but my hope this morning is we begin to understand that whatever the stuff, the its, the things in our life that are being used by the enemy to suck all of the joy that we have in our walk with Jesus, that we can learn some things this morning about how we can bring those to the Lord. Now, the things we're going to talk about, the four things, are things you'll find in other passages. It's remarkable to me, and throughout the Old Testament to the New Testament, you find over and over again a pretty predictable response when we have stuff that's becoming a distraction. It's almost like all of these different episodes in Scripture point back to the same kind of steps that we need to take. And this one is no short of that, so we'll look at that this morning. Start reading me. I know there's a lot of verses, but I wanted to give you the full scope of what we're looking at today and hear the whole story. And because there's, I think, 15 verses we're going to read, I'm going to move through these pretty quickly and then come back and we'll build on this and really focus on four ways or four things or four steps, whatever you're comfortable with inserting there, that will help us in bringing the stuff in our life and placing it before the Lord. Let's start reading in verse 14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of the religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. Important point, they recognized who Jesus was. You and I need to recognize who Jesus is in all situations, no matter what the world may look like, no matter the chaos we may be experiencing, no matter the hurt or pain or fear or anxiety that we may have. We need to learn to recognize him. And I love the analogy here. In the midst of the crowd and alternative viewpoints. Did you catch that? The religious law givers. Those who were experts in God. They were distracting the people from seeing the real Jesus. We go on, verse 16. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit and won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it." This is what I mean. Sometimes we try to shortchange the fixes in life. We read a book, we follow a no offense on me here or any other pastor. We follow a pastor. We may get locked into a certain kind of viewpoint. We may think the church is a good alternative. But none of those things, listen to me, will replace the presence of Jesus. Amen? And if those things become distractions, then we're using them in the wrong way. They should be. All of the things that I just mentioned, including my role as your shepherd or pastor, is to supplement what you're already experiencing in your personal walk with Jesus. It's meant to be that way. Church, worship, Bible study, all of those things are meant to supplement what you're already experiencing. Then verse 19, and it says this, Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Now, I don't know. You don't have a boy probably that's demon-possessed, but you have something else that for the right reasons and wrong reasons have become distracting of you experiencing the true Jesus. Verse 20, so they brought the boy, and when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground withering and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us. Help us if you can. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I tell you a lot of times to underline things. I don't know that I'm real keen on underlining this part. Maybe you circle it because we're all guilty of this same thing. Now we look at this and we're looking in 2024 back some 2,000 plus years, and we're sort of giggling to ourselves, marveling at this man after he's gone through all of these other solutions and they have failed. He's brought the boy in the crowd. He's given him to Jesus to heal, and then has a caveat, if you can. Don't we do the same thing? I mean, part of the reason we have the issues we have, all of the baggage we're carrying around, all of the stresses and anxieties and worries and all of those things that are weighing us down this morning, being used by the enemy to distract us, are all there because we're saying the same thing. God, if you can, will you take care of this? We're guilty of it. And that's why we're holding on to those things, why we're not willing to lay them down to Him, because we doubt in some sense, or we have this idea that we need to rescue God from maybe His desire not to take care of it in the way that we want. Listen, that statement to me becomes extremely self-revealing, not just for this man, okay, but for us. Because we are guilty, as I've said, of the same thing. And there may be different reasons that we ask that question or doubt God's power. Maybe it's something in our past. Maybe it's something we've not seen or experienced yet. I don't know. But whatever it is, we need to learn to deal with that and get past that so that we can bring whatever that is for us before the Lord. Look what Jesus says in that next statement, and we want to analyze this a little bit as we jump into this. And Jesus asked, I love how Jesus asked questions instead of just answering them, right? They're self-reflective. He says this, anything is possible if a person believes. Now, if you're going to circle if I can, then I think you underline, double underline, triple underline the idea of anything is possible if a person believes. Listen, that belief, we're going to say this here, we'll come back to it, brings action, doesn't it? You can't just say, well, I believe, and then not do anything. I believe He can take care of this. I believe God can do that. I believe that He'll take care of my financial problem, my marriage issues, my son or daughter that I'm struggling with this morning, my fears and anxieties. Yes, I believe. But when it comes time to bring that before Him, we're in the back of our minds asking the question, if you can. See, it becomes a distraction. And so you could say, well, this man didn't really believe. Well, he may believe right now, but he wasn't leading up to this. That's the same kind of problems that many of us have. He goes on, verse 24. The father instantly cried out. I mean, he's emptying himself here. We're watching this of himself and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Gosh, if that is not a testimonial for many of us. I believe God, but help me overcome my unbelief. How can both of those things be true? If you have belief, then you don't have unbelief. If you have unbelief, then you don't have belief. You see how the sort of the contorting and struggles going on here? This man doesn't even understand what he's saying at this point. But you and I do the same thing. God, I'm going to bring this to you, but I'm not going to leave it. I'm going to grab it. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to deal with it, or a year or a month, whatever it is. I'm going to look for you to answer it this way. And when you don't, then I'm going to ask for you to help me to believe. When all along, you're unbelieving. Listen, I think what we find here is not a question as much as it is the idea that this is a statement that God is trying to make to us. We either believe or we don't. And I realize that's easier said than done. That's easy just to sort of throw that out there and not begin to weigh the consequences and the struggle with that. And I'll admit there are times where you can say, yes, I believe, but then tomorrow you begin to struggle with unbelief, and now you're asking the question, if you can take care of this. It is a daily thing. Sometimes it's a minute by minute. I think the Bible answers this for us when we're commanded by Christ to take up our cross and follow after Him. That's not just a one and done thing. That's every single day. That's every single problem and issue that we're facing. You may believe in this part, but you don't believe in that part. And what God wants for us is to lay down all of those things and believe Him with everything, even the scary things. Even the things that you're not sure how He's going to handle. Those things that you may think in your mind are impossible for God to overcome. And you're doubting. You're asking if He can. Because you don't see any course of action of how He could resolve this. You've messed things up so badly that you don't believe that God can actually change those things and fix those things. So you don't really believe. He goes on. Verse 25, when Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, He rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Now that's not our purpose this morning is to analyze that. That's another sermon for another day. And probably many of you have looked at this passage from that viewpoint. And it's not a bad viewpoint, but that's not our purpose today. We're going to leave that part and say, absolutely, God is capable of doing those things. He can heal us. He goes on, verse 26, the spirit screamed, threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. Don't you know that father is thinking in his mind at that moment, if he can, I said that, I don't believe. And now the worst possible solution has come about. Jesus has allowed his son, he's thinking, and the rest of the crowd to die. That's not what I wanted. But that happens. We begin to second guess. We're jumping ahead of God. We're not letting the full completion of God's handiwork to take place. We're interrupting it. We're making judgment calls before God is finished. This is where it calls for patience and just continuing to believe, not if he can, I know he can and I know he will, and I believe even though what I see before me doesn't make sense, it scares me, it seems to be the opposite, but I trust him to let him do those things. And then it says this, verse 27, I love it. But Jesus took him by the hand. Wouldn't you like to know how long took place between verse 26 and verse 27? I mean, I like to think Jesus is one of these that just would have left it hanging out there for a little while. Just let that murmuring continue and people beginning to panic and think, oh my gosh, he's not capable. What have we done? And those are oftentimes, at least in my experience, because I'm going to be honest with you, he leaves things hanging out there in my life sometimes, okay? And that's where that faith, that trust, that test begins to come in. Do I really believe it even though I don't see it yet? And oftentimes the opposite seems to be happening. But in verse 27, it tells us clearly, but Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up for all the crowd to see, for that man to see the power of God. Take that worry, that struggle. That we don't know how old this boy is. I mean, we're assuming he's old enough to be able to walk into the crowd and be carried around. I mean, we don't know. But whatever it is, for 5 years or 7 years or 10 years or 12 years, whatever it is, this has been the worry of this man's life every single day, and it is resolved. It's done. Jesus has taken care of it. He's healed it. I almost want to think, what does this man do next? But we don't see it. But what we do see is verse 28 and 29, which sort of sums out for us, but it does give us a response of why sometimes we follow the wrong track to give things over to God. Watch this. Don't miss it. Verse 28, afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, no crowd anymore, no boy, no dad, and they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Now, this is often another sort of angle to go with in this passage, and I don't want to shortchange it, but verse 29, and I do think it gives us some comfort when we hear Jesus say in verse 29, Jesus replies, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Now, again, I that's not my purpose this morning, but I got to say this, there is, when we're dealing with the evil, right, these are not Band-Aid solutions. This is not a, well, I'm going to come out of the lifestyle and the problems that I have and the sin in my life, and I'm just going to run to God to put a Band-Aid on my problem and then move on. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Is it takes the full spiritual might to be able to see what's happening and be able to overcome it. And while this is not my sermon this morning, okay, but this is worth pointing out. Maybe part of the failure in your life and sometimes in my life for not being able to give it over to God is because we've said this, you don't have enough faith, but your spiritual state where you are with God is not where it needs to be. And sometimes the pause, you know, when I said God sort of hangs things out there, I feel like he's working on it, but I can't see it. And sometimes what I see seems to be a distraction. Sometimes that hanging out there and letting God sort of pull back and wait before he does the miracle is so that I can begin to get where I need to be spiritually. So I can get rid of the distractions and the worries and the struggles and the anxieties in my life. It's a time to draw closer to him. So those hanging out times are not bad. Oftentimes, God is using those to get you in a position to where you can fully receive what's going on. Now, I would hate to think that this dad and this boy just sort of check off this and move on. Go back to life as normal. Well, this boy's not normal anymore. He's different. But they just sort of go back into their life. I hope that's not what happened. I hope at that moment when that happens and Jesus heals him, this father is changed for the rest of his living days as a witness of God's power. And that this boy has experienced the hand of God on him to heal him. While I don't know that the boy understood what was going on beforehand, he certainly understands now. And shame on them if that just becomes routine. Listen, there's a point here. We see sometimes God's handiwork in this church. Every Wednesday night, by the way, we gather. And we pray and we oftentimes, we don't do this enough, I'll admit, but we celebrate when God does answer prayers. And my fear in doing that is it becomes so routine that we lose the awesomeness of what we're witnessing. We may be guilty just like this dad as we could see. I hope it's not. But we just go back to normal life and we lose the awesomeness of what God has done. It's not a mark in our life anymore. It's something that we expect and we've lost the awesomeness of it. We pray we don't do that. Now here are the four things. I'm going to run out of time if I'm not careful. Four things that we need to do. Steps, we'll call them. As we bring things to God, whatever that it is in your life right now, I would encourage you write these down because this is going to be the same regardless of whether it's a financial issue, a health issue, a relationship issue, a fear or an anxiety. They're all the same when it comes to these steps. God is very clear in how he wants us to let him deal with it. Number one is this. The Father does this. He's done this for quite some time before he encounters Jesus. But number one, you'll see on the screen, we got to acknowledge it. Listen, this is the first step in any kind of sequence of counseling, overcoming addiction. Whatever it is, we got to admit that we've got a problem. Now, you may think, well, that's easy. Well, it may, it should. But you would be astonished by the number of people who have problems and are ignoring them. They're not admitting it. It's not a problem. Marriage is falling apart. It's not a problem. We're in a dive, but we can pull out. Your job's on the rock, so it's not a problem. Failure to see the problem just continues to elongate the time before God can step in. And this is the richness of God. Sometimes he does, I think, step in before we realize it. But most of the time as believers, he's waiting for us to see the need to give it to him. At least that's what happens in my life. And I'm guilty of this sometimes. I don't see it until it becomes a mushroom cloud of just destruction. And then it's like it dawns on me, we got a problem. And now trying to figure out what to do with that and deal with it. We have to acknowledge it. We got to pray for wisdom to acknowledge it. I think that's where we as brothers and sisters come along with one another in a church community like this. We may see something before somebody else sees it, and it's about coming along and helping them see what's going on in their life, because God's given us the ability to see that, and then they do that for us. Not one-upping them or rebuking them, none of that. It's loving them enough to help them walk through whatever storms they're going through, because you went through them last week. And God uses the community that way. Praying. Man, I got this question right after I got here. I don't know what y'all have done in the past, but I'm big on having believers just come sometimes and pray at the altar. Listen, don't sit there and think, wow, that person's having a problem this week. No, they may be praying about you and the problem you are having in your life that you're not seeing. Just because they come and lay it before the Lord doesn't mean it's their problem. It could be something they're praying about, somebody in this congregation. And so we give them the luxury to bring things before the Lord. We have to acknowledge it. Number two, and this is, I think in the story here, the man saw God through Jesus. Obviously, when Jesus walks up to the crowd recognizes him. The evil spirit recognizes him. The man, the father, doesn't seem to have a problem recognizing him. The boy, the evil spirit in him, recognizes him. But we need to have the eyes to recognize him, to see God. That's number two. You acknowledge it, you got a problem. But now it's beginning to look. And I don't think this is hard, because I'm one who believes God is there. You just got to have eyes to see him. It's not that you got to go hunting for him. Sometimes in the chaos, you're distracted by the arguing going on in the crowd. You're distracted by the alternative viewpoints, the quick solutions, and the band-aids, and whatever else may be in your life at that moment. And you neglect to see where God is, but he's been right there all along, right in front of you. And this is where part of God's love comes in. You got to acknowledge it, but you got to also be willing to give it over to him. Like I said, I find in my life, I mean, I'd hate to put a percentage to it, but it's probably less than 10% God's going to take care of something before I even realize it's a problem. Most of the time, 90% of it, I go through the anguish of seeing it and saw the messing up that I do and the destruction and all of that. And then it's about finding him and putting him in it. That 10% where he runs along ahead of me and takes care of it, even sometimes before I realize it, often, and I'll admit this, often it deals with more people than just me. It does. I see that. I have a unique seat in this church as your pastor to see things going on. And what could be, and some of you don't even realize it, but things that could be very destructive for our congregation and our community. I mean, that you name it. It could be any number of things. But being able to see before I even recognize it as a threat, God taking care of it. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times that's happened. And we just sort of move on. But God's handiwork has done a miracle that has sustained us. That's when I see him doing those things. I don't know. But when it's just me, usually God wants me to go through some things, to try to learn through that, to draw closer to him, to get in a better position to where I can learn from this so that I see him quicker next time. We've got to acknowledge it, the problem, but we also have to be looking to see God. And this is something that's constant. It's not like, well, I saw him, that's it, good, I can move on. No, you got to stay fixated on him. We use this analogy sometimes. You got to keep your eyes focused on him no matter what's going on. And I think the only way this works is that you're focused on him. And I think this is part of the process the Father's going through. You know, I took him to some of your disciples. They couldn't do it. I mean, we don't see this per se in the story, but I'm assuming the man tried other alternatives, and now he recognizes that he needs to bring him to Jesus. I think that's the whole reason he showed up in this crowd this day. And now he recognizes it, so he's bringing it. But part of that is if you can heal him, God, use Jesus to heal him. And I have belief, but I'm unbelieving, so help me with that. This man is being very transparent and struggling in this sort of journey with Jesus. And that's part of what happens. You got to stay fixated on him. You can't just say, I saw him. You got to stay focused on them. Number three is this. Not only do we need to acknowledge it and see God, but we got to be willing to lay it down. This is the hard part. This is the part, I'll be honest, I struggle with the most. Because I'll be very transparent. I often am the one that would say, you know, if you can, God, fix this. If you have time, fix this. If you see the need, fix this. And I'm putting all kinds of caveats on the idea that God may choose not to fix it. And that's my problem. But we got to be willing to lay it down and leave it. My bad part is, I'm the one, and it's a testimony. I'll give God maybe a day to take care of this. And if not, God, then I'm going to go to backup plan B. And that just messes things up. Now, some of you are shaking your heads. You do the same thing. Because we want it fixed now, and God sometimes doesn't. He leaves us hanging for a reason. And so now we got to search and figure out, what do we do in that time? We got to be patient and stay focused on Him, draw closer to Him. But we got to leave it. All through Scripture, you see great analogies of people leaving things for God to take care of. Now, we don't find this per se in the story, but the Father does give the Son to Jesus. Now, logic says that they leave together later and live a fruitful life together, hopefully testifying to what God did. But they were changed because of this. We should be changed. Every time we go through something like this, we learn to lay it down so that the next time it becomes easier to lay it down. And I'm getting there, but I still struggle with it sometimes. So I don't have to go through all of the stuff. Because I'm learning to lay it down instantly to Him. The moment that I begin to realize it's a problem, I see God, I'm choosing to see Him in it, and I begin to recognize Him, and then I lay it down very quickly and give it to Him, let Him have it. That's hard. But taking all of that control that I want over it, the solution that I want over it, the embarrassment that I may have over it, but laying it and giving it to Him. The final step, and this is tied to number three, because you can't do four if you don't do number three. And I would even argue if you don't do one and two, you're not even going to get to three and four. But number four is this, you got to leave it. You got to leave it and walk away and give it to Him. I don't know what that means for you and whatever it is that you're struggling with and the temptation to pick it back up, because I'm going to tell you, you'll leave it before Him today. The enemy's going to tempt you tomorrow to grab it and bring it back. And that's a constant struggle that we have. Learning. And that's why I think, yeah, you can give it to Him today, but you're probably going to have to give it to Him again tomorrow and a little bit later this week as things come up about it. Struggles and what we might call potholes in the road, and now we're just, well, I left it for Him and I've left it there, but now it doesn't seem it's resolved. That's sort of that laying back time, learning to trust Him. That's the hardest part. We want to jump in during that when it seems God is laid back, like we've said. That's when I find myself wanting to jump in and grab it back real quick, but learning to be patient. Listen, I don't think this is anything new. Acknowledging it, seeing God, laying it down, leave it. We could go to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and pull the same four things out. We could venture into Moses and his encounters with God in Exodus, and we can see these four same things. I mean, they seem to be a cornerstone of how God expects us. That you may see different phrases here and different titles for each four, but they all basically become the same. So in my mind, this is how God sort of has given us, I don't want to call it a formula, but He's given us a process to be able to lay what those things are in our lives, the boys in our life before Him. Father, thank You this morning. Really, I thank You for the struggle of this passage first and just what it really can mean when we dissect it and look through it and the fruitfulness that we find, but also, Father, the challenge out of it. Now, God, as I said in my opening prayer, I don't know what kinds of issues different people gathered here today or listening or watching are dealing with, but I would expect that all of us are dealing with something. It may just be so early right now, we don't see the bigness of it yet. It may be something that we've been dealing with for a while and we're struggling right as it identifies this Father and all of the solutions He's looked for. We're right in the thick of that right now because we're doing the same thing. And we're guilty of the same statements. God, take care of it if you can. I believe, but help me in my unbelief. God, maybe there's a little bit of a lay back going on, as I've called it this morning. Maybe a better way to say it, maybe there's a pause going on in our life as we're laid it before you and we've given it to you, we've seen you, we've trusted you with it, but we're not seeing the resolve in it yet. And so maybe right now is a time of just us learning to be closer to you and look and focus on you and grow deeper in our understanding of you. Give us the ability to do that. But God, wherever we are in this process and our own issues, I pray this morning that your Holy Spirit guide us, speak very loudly into our hearts about how we handle and do these things. Now God, I pray again for that lost person. I mean, probably the biggest obstacle for them right now is unbelief. They don't believe in anything because they've never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. That is the beginning step. That's the only resolution to our separation from you. And that separation is because of the sin in our lives. You've sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we can all have forgiveness and be restored into that blueprint that you have for us to have a relationship with you. And even those we've outlined in our passage today, we struggle with that. We still have the presence of you in our life every step of the way. So again, I pray for that lost person this morning. If they're here to come down, share that they're ready to accept Christ, and I want to connect them with somebody who can talk with them, further explain what that means. If they're at home, we say this every week, listening or watching this, then I would encourage them to reach out to us as a church and share that with us, or somebody that they know is a believer. Tell them that they really struggled this morning with this idea of their lostness and are ready to accept Christ. And then any believer would be ready to be able to kind of walk them through that. We pray that. But God, we just pray, move in our hearts. If people need to come to the altar and pray, as we've said, that is open. If there are other decisions that need to be made this morning, then help us to be obedient in that. We pray all these things, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?